Amen. And once again, I just want to say thank you, of course, to Pastor for this opportunity to preach at the Missions Conference for the third year in a row now. And so that's a great blessing and a great honor to be here. And thank you all for coming and showing up and everything. And, you know, what I'll be preaching about tonight is, you know, this big cruise mission trip that a few of us just did about three weeks ago now, we just went on this cruise mission trip. You know, and I want to start off by saying, you know, in the same way that this conference is kind of like, or a large part of this conference is dedicated, you know, to our good friend Kevin Rowe, you know, who passed a couple of months ago. You know, in the same way, you know, this cruise that we went on was, you know, we also were really thinking about him and stuff. Because I want to point it out to, you know, maybe not everybody in here knows this, but, you know, the cruise mission trips was 100% Kevin's idea. You know, Kevin came up with this, and this is kind of a funny story, but I remember whenever Kevin came up with this, it was about a year and a half ago. I remember he came in to the Wednesday night church service, and he was just really excited about it, and he was talking about the cruise mission trip idea, and he was telling me about it, and I was just like, I don't know about that. I was kind of skeptical. I started out kind of skeptical. It just didn't click, you know, in my brain yet, and so I was like, I don't know about this. But, you know, I am so thankful that I was wrong, though. You know, I'm so thankful that we tried it. You know, we've done these cruise mission trips for about a year now, and they've just been nothing but a huge success, and we've gotten hundreds of people saved as a result of it, and it was all, you know, Kevin's idea. And so, you know, and I'm really thankful that Kevin kind of pushed me to sign up for one of these mission trips, you know, before he passed. And this cruise that we went on was actually the very first mission trip, like right after, you know, his passing and everything. So it was a very emotional trip. Obviously, you know, we were thinking about him a lot. And, you know, it was supposed to be five of us who went, but there were four, but there ended up being four of us. So it was me and Brother Jimmy Wright, and of course Lola and little baby Phoebe. So it was us four that went on the trip. And this was me and Brother Wright's very first cruise mission trip. And for me, it was just my first cruise in general. I've never been on a cruise. Brother Wright's been on a cruise before, but I had never been on one. And I want to get a raise of hands. Who here has been on one of these cruise mission trips over the past year or so? Okay, so a few people, but, you know, the majority of people in here have not yet. And so that was me as well. I had no idea what to expect going into this cruise mission trip. And there were a lot of surprises, you know, mostly good surprises. You know, there were a couple of things that, you know, I didn't realize was going to happen and stuff. And that's totally fine. And so that's what I'm going to talk about in this sermon tonight. The title of my sermon is An Introduction to Cruise Missions. An Introduction to Cruise Missions. And this is primarily going to be, you know, aimed towards people who have not been on a cruise yet or a cruise mission trip yet. And I want to talk about, you know, some of the details, some of the things that surprised me, and I just kind of want to tell our story of this cruise mission trip. It was an 11-day cruise, and we went to seven different ports. So we went to seven different stops along the way. But I will say this, just right off the bat, I love cruise mission trips now. So this was an amazing trip. I am hooked, and I want to do a lot more cruise mission trips in the future. I started out skeptical, but now, man, I love this. So anyway, I want to start out by reading this Bible verse here. You're there in 1 John chapter 3. And this verse really jumped off the page at me a couple of months ago, you know, and it made me really think about these cruise mission trips that we've been doing lately. Because I was just reading this, and it really stood out to me. But look down, if you would, at 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17. And this is what the Bible says. It says, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And I want to point out a couple of things in this verse. First of all, you know, God is not against us having good things, you know, in this life. You know, God is not against us, you know, having nice things or being able to participate in nice experiences, or to even use, you know, the terminology here, to have this world's good. You know, God is not against us, you know, having this world's good. And you know, if a cruise is not having this world's good, I don't know what is. You know what I mean? Because it's so nice, it is luxurious. They give you, you know, all this food, and you could just keep eating and eating, and you just eat for, you know, as much as you want. And you have nice lodging. You know, every single morning you wake up and you're in a new beautiful country. I mean, it's really cool. And so, yeah, I mean, if if that's not having this world's good, then I really don't know what is. But, you know, in this verse, though, you know, we see that God doesn't mind us having this world's good, you know, but there's a big caveat to that. And it says that, you know, we still need to have compassion on people who are, you know, are don't have, you know, the same things that we have, right? And have compassion on people and, you know, to love in deed and in truth. And the reason that this just instantly made me think of the cruise mission trips that we're doing is because, yeah, you know, we've got this world's good. We're going on this really nice, super luxurious cruise and everything. But, you know, we're not just doing it for a vacation or whatever. We're going there to preach the gospel to the people at those ports. You know what I mean? And we're there showing compassion to the lost that are in these locations. And so, you know, I think that's a really good way to look at this verse. And again, that just made me think of these cruise mission trips. And so let me get into our story here. So we all met in Fort Lauderdale when we left out from Florida. This was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So this is very fresh. This is new stuff here. And our trip was actually going on at the exact same time as the Steadfast Bahamas trip that we're going to hear more about tomorrow. And so that's going to come in later in the sermon. So I just wanted to point that out. But we were... Let's see. But we were on a princess cruise, and what we heard from this lady named Penny, and I'll talk more about her later, is that princess is like top of the line. So out of all the cruises that you could go on, you know, it's like princess cruises and celebrity cruises, but according to Penny, princess is like much better than celebrity. So, I mean, I started out at the top, you know, I started out at the very best cruise that you can possibly get, is kind of what I thought. Even though we were on the smallest and oldest of their ships that they got, but hey, that's okay. You know, it was awesome, and I have nothing to compare it to anyway. But it was awesome, and you know, I learned a lot of cool stuff about sailing and things. You know, some of my favorite books that I read are like old books about, you know, sailing and shipwrecks and pirates and stuff like that. And so it was just so cool to learn all these new vocabulary words like port and starboard and aft and gangway and stuff. I mean, I've always read these books and I had no idea what they were even talking about. But now I know because I went on this cruise. So that was kind of cool. But anyway, we left out from Fort Lauderdale. And our first full day on the cruise ship, we woke up the next morning on the cruise ship, and the first day was a full day at sea. And so, you know, we didn't land anywhere. We were just sailing for the entire first day. And I will say this, that would probably, for me, you know, never going on a cruise mission trip like this, that probably wasn't like, you know, my favorite way to start out this mission trip. Because, you know, I'm thinking about traditional mission trips, and usually, you know, as soon as we land, you know, hey, we're soul winning, or, you know, maybe the very next day we're soul winning. But here we had to wait for like 2 days after we landed before we started soul winning. But, you know, later on in the trip, I started to really appreciate those days at sea, and I'll talk about that later. But, you know, just starting out, remember, you know, at this time I was still kind of skeptical about these. I was like, I don't know about this. I don't like this day at sea or whatever. There's no free Wi-Fi or whatever. You know, it's probably going to be a boring day. But it ended up being a great day. You know, they have all kinds of different activities on board. So we did like an origami class. We did lots of trivia nights or whatever. And we even saw a show there that was talking about life on board and stuff. So it was really cool. And we ate a lot. So we ate a lot of food and it was great. And so, you know, not a boring day at all. It was great. A day at sea. Go ahead and turn over, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. But again, that was kind of an adjustment coming from, you know, like a regular style mission trip. But the next day, we arrived in our first location, which is the Turks and Caicos Islands. And I've done a lot of research on this place before. This is a territory of the UK, and the Bahamas, you know, I believe it's the most Baptist country in the entire world, the Bahamas is, with like 30% of their population is Baptist. Or, you know, it's one of the like the top five, you know, most Baptist countries. But Turks and Caicos actually has a higher percentage of Baptists. They have like 35% Baptists. So, you know, and we actually met a lot of Baptists that day, so that was pretty cool. But we landed there, and we landed on the island of Grand Turk. And let me tell you, you know, there was nothing grand about it. You know, it was a very tiny island. It was not a very cool island. There were donkeys everywhere. We called it Donkey Island because there were just, you know, donkeys everywhere. And like everybody there either Well, a lot of them didn't speak English. So there was a lot of like Haitians there and Spanish speakers that had immigrated there. But out of the people who spoke English, the majority of them were just kind of drunk. And they just didn't really want to talk to us or whatever. And so it was kind of a rough day, a rough first day. You know, it was also kind of hard to find anybody too. I think there's like 2,000 people that live on this island. It's a tiny island, and there just wasn't a lot of people there. But you know, there were some cool things that happened. I got a Haitian guy saved. I've never gotten anybody from Haiti saved before, so that was pretty cool. He spoke just enough English to get saved, and so we were talking about Haiti. We also met a Haitian Baptist pastor there as well, but he did not speak any English, so we don't know what he said. We don't know if he's saved or not, but. Haitian Baptist guy, okay, a pastor. And then the funniest thing that happened that I have to bring up is that we met this one crazy guy named Gregory. And this guy was pretty crazy. So he was just this like this old black guy, and he was like this tall, and he was just following us around as we were soul winning. And this guy had lost his marbles. You know, this guy was fried for sure. So, but anyway, basically, you know, he just really liked Lola. He really wanted to talk to Lola. He just really liked her. He was just like obsessed with trying to talk to Lola. But Lola was preaching the gospel over here. So I was trying to distract him and stuff. So I was talking to him. And then he wrote down his phone number, and he's like, here, give this to Lola. Make sure she gets it or whatever. And I'm like, okay, dude, whatever, you know. But anyway, I was like, okay, well, while I'm trying to distract this guy, I might as well try to preach to him. So I tried to get into the gospel, but I did not get very far. Because I was about to quote John 3:16. I was like, you know, John 3:16 says, and I was about to quote it. But this guy, he knew John 3:16. And he really knew John 3:16. Because as soon as I said, you know, John 3:16, he just stops everything. He just starts screaming it from the top of his lungs. He's just like, for God so loved the world. He was just so excited. He was just like, man. And I was just like, okay, this guy's crazy. Anyway, but I eventually left him. And I went to go try to approach somebody else. And this made me mad. And this is why we're in Acts chapter 16. We'll look at this in a minute. But, you know, I approached this one young lady. She was like a teenager or whatever. And I tried to hand her a card, you know, did the whole thing. And I asked her, you know, are you sure that you're going to heaven? And she said, no, I'm not sure. And all of a sudden, Gregory shows up from like 10 feet away. He just runs up and he's like, what do you mean you don't know how to go to heaven? For God so loved the world or whatever. And anyway, he freaked out that lady. That lady left, and she wouldn't talk to us anymore. And that made me really mad. That reminded me of this of these verses in Acts chapter 16. Look down, if you would, at verse number 16. Acts 16. Did it fall off? Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, there you go. We got Gregory in here now. No, I'm just joking. Anyway. But you're there in Acts chapter 16. Look down, if you would, at verse 16. The Bible says this, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And so this is like the exact same situation that we were in, where this guy, you know, he's saying good stuff. You know, we all like John 3:16, but he's just being super annoying about it. And he's just like messing us up as we're trying to preach to people and stuff. And so, yeah, this definitely reminded me of him. And I'm not saying that the guy was, you know, demon possessed. Maybe he was just drunk. I don't know. But, you know, he was crazy. And so this was not our favorite spot. And I'll say this too. So that guy, the crazy guy, Gregory, his brother did get saved. So that was the guy that Lolo was preaching to, was his brother. And his brother was cool. His brother was normal. His name was Emerson. So they get on their bicycles, and Emerson's like, come on, Gregory, we got to go home. And he's like, no, you can't tell me what to do or whatever, you know. And he just kept following us around. It was very comical. It was very funny. But anyway, this was, we kind of got off on a rough start. This was not our favorite location. So, you know, we went soul winning all day, and we got four people saved today, which, you know, praise the Lord for the people that got saved. Hold on, let's see. Okay. Hopefully it stays. But anyway, we got four people saved, so that was good. But it was a full day of soul winning, and it was hot. It was sunny. I got the worst sunburn of my entire life. Like, a part of my nose fell off and stuff. It was really bad. And because I don't use sunscreen or whatever, because I never get a sunburn here in Phoenix. But, you know, I don't know if we were just closer to the equator and that's why or whatever. But anyway, if you go on a cruise mission trip, make sure you bring sunscreen or a hat, because that was very important. But But anyway, this place was probably our least favorite place for Brother Wright specifically. This was his least favorite spot for soul winning on the entire trip, because he tried to preach this one lady who was like a repent of your sins lady. And as soon as he said that you don't have to repent of your sins to go to heaven, she just freaked out and just started yelling at him and cussing him out and stuff. So this was his personal least favorite spot for soul winning, but it was also his favorite place for recreation as well, because they had a nice beach. So we hung out at the beach a little bit. But overall, yeah, so not a great start. Now, that night, we went back to the ship, and we ate at this fancy restaurant called Botticelli's that was on board on the ship. And so how this works, because I was confused about this before going on a cruise, but they'll have, like, the big buffet that's open, you know, all day long. It's open till like, 10 p.m. at night, and you could just go in there and grab food anytime you want. But they also have, like, free restaurants that are kind of fancy or whatever that you can have for dinner. And so we ended up going to this place, Botticelli's, every night, and it was really nice. And we had the same waitress every night, Miss Chona, so she was very nice to us. And that's one cool thing about cruises too that I didn't realize, is that you really get to know these staff members that are there. So you get to know them, you know, you talk to them every day, you kind of get to know their story a little bit. And so it's kind of cool to be able to get to know them, because they're all from all around the world as well. And Lola actually got a lady saved named Jessica, who is an English-speaking Nicaraguan lady. So she's from Nicaragua, but she speaks English. And Nicaragua is in Central America. They mainly speak Spanish, but all up and down their Caribbean coast, they speak English there. And so we actually had several English-speaking Nicaraguans on our cruise ship. So that was pretty cool to learn more about that and everything. Speaking of English speakers in Spanish-speaking countries, the next day we went to the Dominican Republic, and this was one of my favorite spots. This was really cool. But you know, going into it though, I had zero hope for me and Brother Wright, because neither of us speak any Spanish whatsoever. You know, we don't speak it, and you know, the Dominican Republic is, you know, a Spanish-speaking place. So anyway, we arrived. I just figured we were going to be babysitting all day. We were going to be babysitting baby Phoebe while Lola's, you know, preaching or whatever. But anyway, we get there and we get to this big plaza area with lots of people around, and Lola starts preaching the gospel, and I'm holding the baby and everything, and I see Brother Wright. He's just walking over here, and I'm like, okay, cool, you know, he can go try. Yeah, dude, that sounds great. But in my mind, I'm thinking, we're not going to find anybody who speaks English here. But anyway, he walks up, he approaches three different people, and all of a sudden I see him pull out his Bible, and he starts preaching the gospel. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So he found an English speaker. So I'm like, okay, well, let me see what I can do. So I start looking around, and I see like a young boy over here, like 13, 14 years old, and I walk up to him, and I just approach him in English, you know, didn't try any Spanish, and the kid spoke perfect English. I mean, it was perfect. And his name was Nathaniel, and he was extremely receptive, and, you know, he got saved super easy. But as I'm preaching to him, there's like an older lady that walks by, and he waves at her, and he says, "That's my English teacher. That's how I know English right now," or whatever. So I'm like, "Amen. Thanks for that, English lady." Anyway, after that, so me and Brother Wright, we got two people saved in English there, and we were pumped. We were ready to go. So we were like, okay, let's go over here to the university. So we went over to a big university, and we were hanging out outside, and we were catching students as they walked by. And the first person I walked up to, boom, English speaker, got saved. And then, you know, we were talking to a lot of people, and then we made the mistake. Me and Brother Wright made the mistake of walking inside of the university. And we walked inside. It's a big lobby with like 40 kids in there. And then an angry teacher walks up to us and starts basically kicking us out, but in Spanish. And, you know, I don't want to get kicked out or whatever. And so I'm just like, "No hablo español. I don't know. What do you want?" And so she's frustrated, and she makes like an announcement, "Hey, does anybody here speak English?" And so these two college, you know, students, these two guys walk up, and they're like, "Yeah, we speak English," whatever. And I give them the card, and I tell them what we're doing. And he's like, "Oh, cool, I'll watch your video. But you know she's kicking you out, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I know, we'll leave," or whatever. So anyway, we walk out, and me and Brother Ryder are just hanging out outside. And then 10 minutes later, those two students that just kicked us out, the two English speakers, walked up to us, and they were like, "Hey, we just watched your video, and it was really cool." And man, boom, we preached them the gospel, and they got saved as well. So that was really cool that lady who kicked us out kind of filtered through the students to help us find the English speakers. So that was really cool. And so anyway, out of the 11 people that we got saved in the Dominican Republic, 5 of those were in English. So that was really cool. A great experience there. And I'm going to throw out some numbers here. These are not official or anything. These are just based off of what we saw. But I would say that out of the young people that we spoke to, like 20s and teenagers, maybe like 50 to 60% of them spoke some English to where we could like leave them a card and leave them with a verse or whatever. But and I'd say about 10 to 20% of them could speak English well enough to get saved. So that was just out of the people that we spoke to. That's kind of just a rough census that we kind of took there. But yeah, I mean, 10%. You know, that's awesome. So we would just have to like, you know, filter through like 10 different people before we found somebody who could get saved in English. So yeah, it was a really cool day. Afterward, I was talking to some of my friends here about it, and I talked to Brother Alex Larson about it, and he looked it up and everything he knew about it, and he said, and basically the Dominican Republic has the second highest English proficiency out of all of the Spanish-speaking world. So even though it's, you know, a very solidly a Spanish-speaking country, they have a lot of English spoken there, as we saw. And then I was talking to my friend from Steadfast. He's here tonight, Brother Evan Nagel. And he was telling me there's this big university in Santo Domingo. And it's the oldest university in the Americas. And they have a lot of English speakers in their student body as well. It's a huge university. And so I feel like, yeah, the Dominican Republic would be a great place to do future mission trips, even bilingual mission trips in the future, just based off of our experiences there. So I have a lot of hope for Dominican Republic. And this was one of my favorite days, because I went into this just absolutely thinking me and Brother Wright, we were not going to get anybody saved today, and we ended up getting 5 people saved just in English, and then we got another 6 in Spanish. It was awesome. So very great day, loved it. And then so we got back on the ship, of course, and then the next day was a day at sea. And so we started out our trip with a day at sea where we're just sailing all day. This one was a day at sea as well, but this time 5 times per day. It was awesome. And so I loved that, and so I really appreciated the day at sea at this point in the trip. And so anyway, our next stop, the next 3 stops, we went to the ABC Islands. So we went. So this is, you know, the Dutch Caribbean. And so these islands, you know, historically, they're very similar to each other. Culturally, they're very similar to each other. They were all part of the Netherlands, you know, and 2 of them are still part of the Netherlands. And then they speak 4 different languages there, according to what we could read online. So they speak Dutch, they speak Spanish, because they're very close to South America. Going into these 3 countries that we went to, these 3 places that we went to. But, you know, we went in there and we started out going to Bonaire, the smallest out of the 3. And I can honestly say that these 3 countries are very solidly Spanish. So whereas with Dominican Republic, you know, we were surprised by how many English speakers were there. With these 3 countries, we were very surprised by how many Spanish speakers there were. So a lot of people were speaking Spanish in Bonaire. But, you know, we went door to door and we got many people saved in Spanish. And then the English speakers that we did find, almost all of them got saved. They were very receptive to the gospel as well. And Brother Wright, he had the great idea of going to this soccer field that he found on Google Maps. So we ended up walking over to this soccer field. It took us a while to get there, but we got there. And there were lots of teenagers there. And so we got some teenagers saved there. And then we walked right down the street and we found this covered basketball court. And there were tons of like middle school age kids there. And we got a lot of people saved there as well. And so Bonaire was actually one of my favorite places on the entire trip, just because, yeah, there is a lot of Spanish, but there's also a lot of English as well. And just every single person wanted to hear the gospel. We did not really get rejected at all. If they spoke English, they wanted to hear the gospel. And so Dominican Republic and Bonaire were my 2 favorite spots out of the entire trip. I really loved it. And so we ended up getting 11 salvations in Bonaire as well. And so the next day we went to Curacao, and Curacao is bigger than Bonaire, but smaller than Aruba. And again, these 3 are very similar to one another. But we got to Curacao, and this was the halfway point of the trip. So we were halfway done with the trip by this point. And Curacao, hands down, was my least favorite place that we went to on this entire trip. I did not like Curacao for soul winning at all. I would say, I liked it less than even Grand Turk with the crazy guy Gregory. But I actually like Curacao less than that, because this day was just very discouraging. It was just very depressing, because what happened was we went soul winning all day, we went soul winning all morning, and then even in the evening all the way till it got dark outside, and we were just really trying hard. We found this huge plaza area with tons of people, hundreds of people, and so we were handing out cards to everybody, and I went through tons of like pockets of cards, because I'll take a stack of YouTube cards, stick in my pocket, hand it out to people, and I just kept handing out to so many people. We just kept getting rejected over and over again, and after trying really hard all day, We ended up getting 7 salvations. And so, you know, praise the Lord for those 7, but man, we worked hard for those 7 salvations. And so Curaçao was not my favorite place. You know, it was just, the people were there were just very unreceptive in my opinion. You know, but also I'll say this, this was the only day on the entire trip where we were able to go back to the ship for lunch. So, you know, we did a lot of soul winning in the morning, then we went back for lunch, and then we came back out again for the afternoon and the evening, and then we went soul winning in the evening as well, just because we were really close to the ship. And while we were eating lunch, we met this lady named Penny, and I want to talk about her a little bit. So this was an old lady, she's in her 80s or whatever, and this lady basically completely changed my mind about cruise mission trips. Like, I was already being won over to, you know, this cruise mission trip, but she just totally changed my perspective on it, because she was talking about how, you know, her first cruise mission trip was back in the 1960s, and she's been on close to 200 cruises, and she's visited over 120 different countries. And so whenever she told me that, I was like, man, that sounds awesome. I want to do that too. You know, and so it was really cool to talk to her. She had all kinds of cool stories from all over the world, from Fiji and Zanzibar and the Panama Canal and all kinds of crazy. She's been everywhere. And so it was really cool to talk to her. And yeah, I would say that that was a big turning point for me, was learning that you could really go to like that many countries just on cruises. So I thought that was really cool. And yeah, that was a cool day, cool lady. And so that was cool. So Curaçao was my least favorite spot for soul winning, but I would say it was also kind of like the coolest spot for recreation too, because they had a really nice beach there. They had this cool old fort that they had turned into a mall. They had this bridge that was on a boat, so you could like ride this bridge around. It was kind of cool, but the soul winning sucked big time. So anyway, go over if you would to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. So I know I'm just kind of blowing through these places, but I just kind of wanted to give a report about each one of these places, because one of the greatest things about cruise mission trips, in my opinion, is the fact that you can, you know, basically scout out all kinds of different countries and all kinds of different places in a very short amount of time and with very, you know, with not that much money. And so we went to all 7 of these places. 6 of them were brand new to me. I've never been to before. And so it was really cool to be able to check these places out and scout them out for future mission trips and things like that. And so, you know, that's why I'm kind of trying to go into details about it. But anyway, the third place that we went to in the Dutch Caribbean was Aruba. And this place was a lot better than Curaçao. And, hold on. And Brother Wright, he remembered the fact that our church actually did a mission trip to Aruba back in 2018. He remembered it being very receptive from what he heard. And so we woke up that morning. He's like, okay, you guys, this place is very receptive. We're going to get 30 salvations today. And so that was kind of a big goal, because up to this point, we had only gotten 11 salvations in a given day. And so he was like, we're going to get 30 salvations today. And so we really pushed ourselves hard on this day. We stood outside of this big university all day, and we were just catching students as they were going in and out of classes. And it was awesome. And it got to be around 4 p.m. in the afternoon. We went all day, and we got 20 salvations up to that point. And so, you know, it was a really successful day up until that point. But then, you know, we were all tired by this point. We were all kind of ready to go back to the cruise ship, but we were like, no, we have to push a little bit more to try and get that 30 salvations or whatever. So we pushed it just a little bit more. We could only go for about 45 more minutes before we, you know, had to get back on the ship, or else they were going to leave us. So we went for another 45 minutes. We ended up getting 4 more people saved. So altogether, we got 24 salvations in Aruba. This was our best day by far for the trip. And Lola pointed out that we would have never gotten that many salvations if we had not really pushed ourselves with that goal of 30 salvations. And Lola brought up these verses right here. You're there in 2 Kings chapter 13. Look down, if you would, at verse 18. This is a well-known story. You know, we probably know it. But anyway, let's read it together. So it says this. In verse 18, it says this. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God, which is Elisha, was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And so, yeah, Lola pointed out this, that basically this was our situation as well, because if Brother Wright had not pushed us to do more and pushed us to get 30 salvations, then we would have never gotten, you know, the amount that we did get. So we came short, but we got a lot more than we would have otherwise. And so that was really great that that we didn't just smite the ground, you know, three times or whatever. We just kept going and going and going. And so that was really great. And turn over, if you would, to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And so anyway, we went back to the ship. And we had another day at sea, which was really nice, you know, like I talked about before. But then the next day, we got to the island of St. Kitts. And this was one that I was actually really excited about. I've never been to St. Kitts. I was really looking forward to checking it out. But something bad happened. And this is one of the negative things I would say about cruising is the fact that we got there and we woke up in the morning and we got dressed and we were ready to go. And then we went up on the deck to get breakfast. And then we heard an announcement that they were not going to be able to dock that day because the weather was too bad. And so we looked out the window and you know, from what we could see, the weather wasn't bad at all. You know, we could see some rain going on, you know, in the distance, whatever. But really what it was windy. It was very, very windy that day. And that's the thing about cruise ships is that if it's too windy, then they can't dock. And so I would say that that's kind of a downside to cruising. And that was a real big bummer for us is that we were not able to enjoy St. Kitts that day. So we actually had 2 days at sea in a row. And so that second one, we were just kind of, you know, a little bit down. But, you know, we had a good day anyway. But I would say that that is one of the negative things is the bad weather. And then the next day we got to St. Thomas and the weather was actually bad outside. Like it was pouring rain. It was like a tropical storm outside. But we were able to dock that day. And so it didn't kind of, you know, make a lot of sense, but really what it is, it just has everything to do with the wind. You know, it wasn't very windy on that day. And so anyway, we get to St. Thomas, we're able to dock, but the weather outside is just really, really bad, just pouring rain. And so we decide to wait it out for a little bit. And so for the first couple of hours of the day, we just kind of relax and we're just monitoring the weather. And then we're checking our phone, you know, we're just playing on our phones and we're scrolling through Facebook. And this is important, but we're scrolling through Facebook and we see basically a post that Pastor Shelley put up, and I think Ben the Baptist as well, because they were doing their Bahamas trip at the same time that we were doing ours. And basically they made a post about how they got a lot of people saved at this laundromat in the Bahamas. And, you know, me and Brother Wright, we kind of looked at each other and we were like, hey, that sounds like a good idea. Maybe we should try a laundromat today. And so whenever the weather cleared, we went over to this big indoor mall, and then we found a laundromat in there, and we went in. Boom, got somebody saved. And then after that, we left that mall, we went to another mall, and then we found a big laundromat. We went in, boom, we got a lot of people saved in there. And so that was really cool that the Bahamas trip actually helped out our trip, you know, inadvertently just through that Facebook post. And I had never even thought about doing soul winning at a laundromat, but it makes total sense. They're just sitting there, you know, watching clothes dry or whatever, you know. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense, and it was great. We got a lot of people saved there, especially in the laundromats, and so we got a total of 10 salvations in St. Thomas. And I'll say this, too. Whenever our church did a mission trip to St. Thomas, I think in 2022, and that was probably like the least receptive trip that we've ever taken before as a church. It just wasn't very receptive. But whenever we went on this cruise, because of the laundromats and stuff, it ended up being a lot more receptive. We got a lot more people saved. And so that was really cool. I really enjoyed that. And so we got 10 salvations there. And then finally, the last day, the last port, the next day we landed in Puerto Rico. And so this was our very last day, and we all had different schedules. Brother Wright left early in the morning. As soon as we landed, he had to go to the airport. I left in the evening, and then Lola went back to the cruise ship to continue, because she was going to do another, I think, 7 days on top of the days that we had already done with Mrs. Anderson. And so anyway, Puerto Rico was kind of like our last day, our last port. And so we went to this big mall there called the Plaza Las Americas. Yeah, Plaza Las Americas. And this mall was huge. I would say it's like, for comparison, for people who live here, it's like twice as big as the Arizona Mills Mall over there close to the old church building. But anyway, it was a big mall. And we stayed there all day, and we ended up getting 14 salvations there. And what I loved about Puerto Rico, the same as Dominican Republic or whatever, is that the young people all spoke English in Puerto Rico. So so that was really great. And I ended up getting a lot of people saved there. Lola did as well. We both did. And And anyway, at the end of the day, you know, it was time for me to go to the airport and get on my plane. And so we were just wrapping up. Lola was just finishing preaching with somebody. And then that's whenever we got kicked out. So security kicked us out of the mall. But it was all good because we had already finished for the day. And so I'm thankful that we didn't get, you know, kicked out earlier than that. And so anyway, we got 14 salvations there. And so I love Puerto Rico. And I just loved this trip in general. So this was a wonderful trip. I had never been on any cruise mission trips before. And we did this trip and we got 82 salvations all together. So between the four of us, the three soul winners and everything, we ended up getting 82 salvations. And then, of course, like I said, Lola and Mrs. Anderson and their daughter Anna went on for another 7 days and got a lot more people saved as well. And but I'm just talking about our experience on our part of the trip for this sermon. But anyway, I loved it. And turn over, if you would, to Acts chapter 28, if you're not already there. I think I told you a minute ago. But anyway, I'll just say this, though, just right here at the end. The only negative things I would say about a cruise mission trip. And again, I want to be clear. I love the cruise mission trips. It's like 95% awesome. But there's just a couple of things that I noticed. One, of course, is the bad weather that caused us not to be able to go to St. Kitts. You know, it wasn't even that bad outside, but it was just the wind that kind of messed us up. And so I would say that that's kind of a negative thing about it. Another thing that kind of caught me by surprise or whatever is that there are extra expenses involved. Not necessarily with the cruise ship. You know, you got to like pay for your laundry or whatever. That's not a big deal. But like at the port, though, it can be really, really expensive in some of these countries. Because in a few of these places, we had to get taxis to go soul winning. We weren't able to just walk to our soul winning destination. And some of them were very expensive. Like the very first stop that we did in the Turks and Caicos Islands, it's a very small island. And we wanted to drive to the other side of the island. It was like 20 minutes away. So we talked to the taxi guy. And, you know, for a ride that 20 minutes there, 20 minutes back, that's $120 US. And so we were like, oh man, that's crazy. And so anyway, we walked down the road a little bit and we found another guy and he did the same trip for like $80. So it's like, it's better, but you know, it's not that good. And he also took us to the downtown area as well. So, you know, we got a better deal with him. But again, $80, that's a lot. The next day in Dominican Republic, we also paid $80 for a taxi there as well. So, you know, those costs can kind of add up or whatever. So there are a few extra expenses, not many, but there are. And the bad weather. And then also I'll say this too. After talking with Penny that I talked about earlier, you know, I was super psyched. I was like, man, I'm ready to go to like 100 countries on cruise mission trips. And so me, you know, being me and loving Africa, I just typed into this website that I found called cruisemapper.com. And I went on there and they have like over 2,400 different cruise ports listed from all around the world. And me loving Africa, I just typed in there, you know, what cruises are going to the port of Monrovia, Liberia, because I really want to go to the country of Liberia. Anyway, I checked it out and there's one cruise going to Liberia for 2026. I was like, man, this is great. This is good. And so I looked at the itinerary and it's going all throughout West Africa. And I was like, man, this is awesome. I'm gonna book it. But then I looked at the price involved. And for that specific cruise, it's a 20-day cruise and it's $20,000. So, you know, the thing is that cruising is great. And also, I want to say this, too. It makes sense because not a lot of people want to go to Liberia. So, like, you know, the less cruise ships that go there, the more expensive it's going to be. I get it. It makes sense. That's why the Caribbean is, like, the cheapest or whatever because, you know, a lot of people want to go there. I get it, but it doesn't seem like cruises are going to be the way to reach, like, 100 different countries or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's good for some areas. It's good for the Caribbean. It's good for, you know, Europe. It's good for South America, I think. But it's probably not going to be good for places like Africa or whatever. And I will say this, too. One really cool place I want to do a cruise mission trip to, me and Kevin were talking about this several months ago, and me and Alex were Larson were talking about this as well. I want to do a cruise through the South Pacific. So they have lots of cruises that do that leave out from Australia, and they go to places like Fiji, Samoa, Tonga. I think that'd be awesome. You know, so yeah, cruises are good for some things, you know, but not everything, though. But anyway, I love it. I'm addicted to these cruise mission trips. I want to do a lot more, and I think it's cool that just coming up very recently, very soon, we've got multiple more cruise mission trips with our church. So we got one in November, and I'm already signed up for this. Me and Brother Dan Surrett, we're going to go on that one, and so that's going to be awesome. And so we got one in November coming up, we got one in December coming up, and then we got another one in January coming up. And so I love these cruise mission trips. I love that we have so many planned, and, you know, Lord willing, we do, you know, maybe a couple of these per year going forward in the future. You know, I don't know, you know, what our plans are, but I love these, and I want to do a lot more of these cruise mission trips. And hopefully you guys want to as well. That's kind of why I wanted to preach this sermon, not only to get you excited about cruise mission trips, but also to just let you know what a cruise mission trip is even like. And so you're there in Acts chapter 27. I want to end here. Brother Anselm gave me the idea for this point, and I thought this was kind of cool. But anyway, you're there in Acts chapter 27. Look down, if you would, at verse number 1. It says this, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us." And I wanted to point out here that cruise mission trips are in the Bible. We found it. It's right here in Acts chapter 27. And the cruise I went on was nothing like Paul's. You know, mine was better, I think. You know, but you know, Paul went on a cruise mission trip. And it's taken us, like, you know, up till this point, like 2,000 years, to figure out, like, God is for cruise mission trips. You know what I mean? It's in the Bible, and we need to do more of them. And I love these cruise mission trips, and I can't wait to do some more, and I hope that everybody does as well. And so, anyway, thank you guys, and so let's go ahead and pray. So, dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach this sermon, Lord. And Lord, I just hope and pray that I could have motivated some people to get on board with these cruise mission trips, Lord. I think it's a great way to reach the world. And Lord, just please bless us, and please bless the rest of this conference as well. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.